have you talk about what you had for breakfast this morning.
Well, I do not eat breakfast in the morning. I just had coffee and water.
Is it okay if I move it a little bit closer?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just keep it like right here. Is that comfortable for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you need me to speak up a little bit louder, let me know, okay?
This one's perfect to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm going to try, when you're talking, I'm going to try not to say, mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm,
I understand.
Because then it'll interrupt what you're saying. Yes. But I'll be nodding, okay. I'll be listening to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I'll just introduce us on here.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Maddie Kameny. It is June 28th, 2018. I'm at Calmwell Health in Dunn, North Carolina, and I'm here with...
Anna Deaver.
Okay. Anna, if you're okay, we can go ahead and get started.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about how you started working here?
I started working here in 1920. I work at the hospital in Clinton, Samson Regional Hospital, for 28 years. Then I left there and I came and work here, and I've been here from 2016 till now.
Okay, when did you start working?
2016.
Mm-hmm. How did you know that you wanted to go into healthcare?
Well, from when I was home in Panama, I went to college to be a nurse, and got married to an American, came to the United States thinking that I could finish school here, but it was a traveling thing. We had to go to different places, and I could never go back to school. We lived in Germany for 5 years. Then after we came back, and I tried to go back to school, and I needed to go back to school, but the only thing that I could do to finish was take CNA. But I love what I do every day. It's just what I was born for, is to help people and do the right thing in life.
So why were you traveling?
Well, my husband was military. He was in the military, and we traveled for almost 10 years until he decided to get out of the military. Then I became a mother with 2 children, had to work to take care of my kids, and that's what I did. Went to school, finished school, and became a CNA. Was very proud of it.
What are some of the places that you live?
Oh my goodness, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I lived in Kentucky, I live in Georgia, I lived a lot of places in the United States. Then I went to Germany, and I lived in Germany for 5 years, worked for the German. Loved it. Went to visit Paris, London, Austria, different places of Europe.
What's been your favorite?
Germany.
Why is that?
Because it's clean, pretty. It's just like a storybook. You open to read. That's the way Germany looked to me.
So how was transitioning to coming to live here?
Oh, it was kind of a... I spoke English from I was a child. My father spoke very good English. My mother spoke good English. So I spoke English when I came over here. So it wasn't that hard. But the only thing that the food here make you fat, we used to have to eat, you know, like grits and eggs. And, you know, back home in Panama, we don't do that. We drink like maybe hot tea in the morning with a piece of bread and piece of cheese, and that's it. But here you eat everything in the morning. So from 99 pounds to, I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh now.
Can you talk about your childhood?
Oh, my childhood was good. My father was a PA. My mother was a home wife. I have 3 other siblings. It was a good childhood. My father was very strict. He loved for us to learn everything that we needed to learn. He wanted the best for us, but things happen in life. So he passed away now. My mother passed away too. So, but I thank him every day for everything that he taught me.
What were some of your best memories of childhood?
My best memory was my father and my mom. and the way we lived. You know, we was poor, but we was happy. You know, we was very humble. So that's the best thing.
Were you in the city, the countryside?
The city. I don't think I could do good in the country because I don't like bugs.
So what was it like then?
Living in the city, it was, you could walk from everywhere you wanted to go. You could walk. You could take the bus. You could walk from home to where we used to live at the school. This was maybe 10 minutes walk. So we went to school. You know, it didn't take much, you know, but it was good. We used uniform every, you know, to go to school. It was like kind of a hard in school because there was very disciplined, you know, so it was good. It was a good childhood.
What are your friends, you and your friends do for fun?
When we were small, play jump rope, go fishing, climb trees, go on. Just do a lot of things, you know, just tell stories, and that's a, you know, that's good things. Get in trouble, get whipping.
What are some things you did to get in trouble?
Oh my goodness, we don't want to talk about that. Well, as a teenager, my father didn't believe in us putting on makeup because he always say, for you, you don't need makeup. You're a beautiful person. We didn't need makeup. And for me to make my daddy mad, I would put on lipstick and I would get in trouble for that. And get dressed and go out the window and go party and come back. So one day I got caught and that was the last time I went out to.
What happened?
He beat me. He beat me with a belt today. But, you know, I had to learn, you know, to follow what he says to me, you know, not to do what I wanted to do. So it was good. It was fine. So the same discipline that I use with my daughters, them now. But I didn't used to beat them. I used to talk to them. So
why is that?
Because, you know what I mean, I feel like self-discipline is something you have to teach your children to do. It's to not trying to let them take life. You know, they need to be raised with good discipline. And my two daughters and was raised with very good discipline. I was a solo mom after me and my husband divorced. And they was very good children. Know that they 45 and 41. I think I have to talk to them more serious now than when they was teenagers.
What do you think were some things you took from your parents and applied to your own?
Well, to my father, I took a lot of respect. For my mother, I took the cooking. She loved to cook. My father was a self-disciplined, you know, disciplinary. So yes, that's what I took from them.
Do you think you did anything differently from how your parents raised you?
No, not really, you know, not really. It's just like, you know what I mean? I always appreciate everything that I learned when I was coming up. Sure, you don't like for them to punish you and whip you and things like that, but I see now that they were just teaching me the right thing in life, not to grow up and be wild and, you know, get in trouble.
Do you mind talking about when your parents passed away?
Oh, I was in Germany when my father passed away. It was 1982. He had became an alcoholic and homeless, and he just died, you know, just died. And my mother, she died in 85. I was here in the United States. They had called me and told me that she, they found out she had mouth cancer, and they had cut her tongue out because her cancer was so bad that they had to cut her tongue out, some of her lungs and everything. And I went home in 1985, March of 1985, to see her, because knowing what I know I will not get to see her no more. So I went home to see her, and once I saw her, I was kind of a shock the way my mom looked. So she couldn't talk to me because she didn't have a tongue, but she was she write English very pretty, and she had told me what she wanted me to know and what she wanted me to do. And I left Panama 1985, the 19th of April, the day of my birthday, I left Panama to come back home. And I told her that I would see her again, you know, when she go to heaven. And she told me, okay. And let me see, she died that December of 1985. So it was kind of a hard, you know, but I had to accept it because I didn't want her to suffer no more. So
how did you get through that time?
It was kind of a hard because I had left two siblings at home, and there was the younger sibling, and that's one thing she asked me and my other sister to promise, because my sister is here too, to promise that we would look out for the other smaller two. And it was kind of a hard because you had to call them on the phone, try to take care of them monetary wise, and it was hard, you know. But they became, my brother became an alcoholic, my sister became a drug addict, and my brother just passed away this year of alcoholic problem. My younger sister is still in Panama, so but it's kind of a hard to have to deal with things when you're so away from your family, you know. So
you were taking care of your mom?
Well, monetary wise, because she was in Panama and I was here, yes, we was, me and my sister both.
What about, so you have one sister?
Two sisters and one brother.
Two sisters and one brother, yes. And your brother recently passed away.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that?
Well,
if you don't, it's okay. We can talk about something.
It was our baby brother, you know. And we always took care of him. But he was just started to drink and started to do drug. And we would call him or he would call us. And anytime he called, he would tell us that he loves us, you know. And I'd tell him that I love him. But it was like a big loss to me because I love my brother so much. My baby sister, she's still in Panama doing the same thing. But at least she's working, you know. So
Everyone's been living in Panama this whole time?
Yes, everybody. Well, the two of them, one that left now, she's still in Panama. We try to bring her to the United States, but she don't want to come, so.
How often do you see them?
Well, I don't travel like I used to travel because I got burned in 2010. So my health is not that good no more, you know, and then for me to travel, it's just so hard, you know, and then, you know, monetary-wise and physical-wise, it's kind of a hard, so I don't do it like I used to, you know. I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish I could, but I doesn't do it.
Do you know, when your mom was sick, do you know what her relationship was like with doctors? Like, did she...
Well, she couldn't accept. She could not accept having mouth cancer, tongue cancer. She had a trach. They had to place a trach, and she could not accept not eating no more because she was such a good cook. And I remember when I went home, she asked me. She said, "When can I eat?" And I told her she could not eat no more. She would have to try to get fed by insurance or something. And she said she did not like it. And I told her, you know, we could not do anything else about it. And I said, "You have to live like this." And she said, "Well, I don't want to live like this anymore." So, you know, not eating, I think, became a big issue with her, you know, so.
That was an important part of,
yes,
who she was?
Yes. Eating, cooking, and feeding people.
What kind of things did she make for you?
Oh, Panamanian food. She loved to cook. anything you put in front of her, she loved to cook. She just loved to cook.
Like, what was your favorite dish?
My favorite dish was rice and lentil beans and coconut rice with lentil beans and chicken and anything my mom cooked. Something we call plantain. It's like the sister. No, it's just like the mom to the banana. It's a green, big old. I don't know if you ever seen it in the store. So that's what we call plantain.
What do you make with them?
We fry them and cut them, fry them in oil and eat them with the rice and meat, you know. Mm-hmm. Without plantain and rice, that you don't have a meal. We always have to have rice or plantain.
What were your memories of school?
Oh, school. Oh, it was school. We had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to be ready for school at 8 o'clock. School was very strict in Panama. It's not what you call school here in the United States. We had to go to school from 8 to 12. And then they had another shift from 12 to 6 o'clock. And we had to use uniform from the kindergarten to the 12th grade. It was kind of a, you know, good memories, but it was very strict in school. Then I went to college, and that's when you could get a little wild then. So.
Was it a religious school that you went to?
Catholic. We all Catholic in Panama. Now, you know, now they have different religion, but I grew up as a Catholic. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to college?
The Panama University.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you and your siblings would get sick when you were younger, what your parents would do?
Oh, God, when we got sick, the first thing my mama say, because I suffer with tonsillitis a lot, when I was coming up, the first thing my mama say, I'm going to get me a bottle of castor oil. So castor oil and honey and some garlic. That was our medicine for our cold. And that's what we brought up. I made this castor oil, honey, and garlic. We didn't go to the doctor as much because you wasn't privileged to go to the doctor as much, but like I said, my father was a PA, you know, so he used to give us medicine, but my mama always gave a castor oil.
So would it start with the castor oil, and then later your dad would take a look at you?
Well, yeah, but he knew my mama would give us castor oil, and that would clean our system out, and that was good enough. So a lot of time, if we were sick, we try not to let her know because the castor oil was coming with the honey and the garlic. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know what would happen when your parents were growing up, when they got sick?
Well, when my mom was, I cannot tell you that my father and my mother was like sickly people, you know. My father mostly got sick when he was, and he started to drink, you know. And then when he started to drink, my mom started to drink too, so, you know. But there wasn't sickly people, you know. You never heard my mom say that, you know, I feel bad, I had a headache, my father either, so. It's not like wasn't a sickly, but I stayed sick all the time, and most of the time was like castor oil, honey, and or maybe penicillin shot for my tonsil, but that was it.
Do you remember your first time going to the doctor?
My first time going to the doctor, that's when I got sick, when I had polio. I got sick, and my father had to take me to the doctor. And that was it. But we never went to the doctor. Like, we have a fever, my mama would put us in cold shower. We wasn't privileged to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you had polio?
I was 8 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Oh, I remember everything about it. I remember one night, went to bed, got up to use the bathroom, and I got up and I fell. And I started screaming because I could not get up again. And my mom came and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Something wrong with my leg." And my mom caught on the light that my leg, my knee was so swollen. And my mom said, "What happened? Did you fail? Something hit you?" And I said, "No," because she know we always jumping. And I said, "No." And it took me to the hospital and come to find out I had polio. And that polio increases to a tumor. So they had, I had to have surgery. And I had died and come back again, you know. So,
well, what was that experience like?
Oh, my. I just don't say too much about it because people might not believe you, you know. So, yeah. It was kind of a bad experience. But I stayed in the hospital for a whole year. And because I had to learn to walk again. And once I got out after that year, I went downstairs and fell again and broke my kneecap and had to have a body cast for, I think it was for 4 months. So that leg always had gave me a hard time since seven or eight.
So you were in and out of the
hospital. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the doctors?
Well, for what I remember, the doctors then was very good. The nurses, my father worked at a hospital, so you know, the nurses then was good. And I had good memories of the hospital. They served good food. Yeah, but I remember very good about it. And my father and mother used to come visit me all the time, so yes.
What would you say is the ideal healthcare provider? Like, what qualities would they have?
I think, like I say, I work in this system for 30 years now. I have worked at the hospital and caring. A person that no matter who they are, what they are, once they go in the room, they have a good bedside manner, they respect, they listen, they give the patient whatever they need to know. And I always say sometimes people don't want to hear the truth, but it's good to tell the truth, and that's what a good provider means to me.
How was your schooling experience?
My schooling experience was very good. College was good. School was wonderful, so you know, there was no problem. I love college.
And then you got your CNA. When was that?
When I got my CNA, it was 1978, and it was here in Samsung Tech. I get back from Germany, and I needed a job, and I went back to school and got my CNA, and I finished in December, and I started working in December at Samsung Regional. So I've been there for 28 years.
Samsung Regional?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do now?
I just does everything, because like I say, I learned so much from the hospital. I learned how to work with doctors, all different kind of doctors, because I was an interpreter CNA, so I had to work with a lot of doctors, from OB to surgery to ER. Whatever they asked me to go interpret, I would go and help with the procedures. So,
How would you describe a typical day?
At the hospital or here? This
so you
life
part-time,
is still.
Part-time at Samsung Regional, part-time here?
Samsung Regional is a learning environment. You see everything different every day. Every day there's something different. Here there's mostly like cold, fevers, you know, aches and pain. There you will see, like, working in the ER, working in the ER for 2 years, and you will see trauma. And I love trauma. You will see trauma. Every day there was something different coming at nighttime, at daytime, and I love that experience.
What do you love about it?
I love that it was just something different every day, and you do not get bored because every day there was something different, like bullet wounds, somebody come in with bleeding, they cut themselves. You know, you would be an interpreter, you would have to interpret for Hispanic people, and this life itself, every day there was something different, and I loved it. So
can you talk about your experience as an interpreter?
My experience as an interpreter, I think, is a blessing, because it's a blessing to help people that can speak the language. And a lot of time we see people that really cannot understand and cannot speak. And I think that for us to have the bilingual language is a good experience. Because even yourself, if you was in Mexico and you can speak Spanish, there will be somebody to speak English for you. So I think that to be bilingual is a blessing, you know, because you can help people.
So do you interpret inside of appointments and like in the waiting room? Like what kinds of things do you do?
Anytime. Anything that they ask me. Like I work with Dr. Belt right now. I sit there and I interpret for her. I help her with her patient. I do what I need to do every day, and I think it's a wonderful experience that Conway Health have I'm going to go back. Conway Health is a very, very good place to work. You know, I think this is not saying this because I need to say the truth. I think it's a wonderful place to work, because when I came here, I see that they was here to help people. They was here to help any type of people. They was here to help Hispanic, black, white, anybody come through the door. I never seen nobody say, well, you got to go back out there because you don't have the money, you don't have what it takes to come to this clinic. Everybody is welcome, and that's what I love about it. And I think it's a wonderful place to work, and that's why I decided to stay here until I retire, if they have me. But I think it's a wonderful place to work. I really do. I always said it.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Do you live near here?
I live like maybe 15 minutes from here.
Can you describe your community to someone who has never been there?
Well, my community is very quiet. It's very... There's not many children. I live by myself. It's a very good community. If you decided to go anywhere, you just say, well, you know, neighbor, can you wash the house for me? And you come back home, and they will do. They will take, you know, take care of your house and whatever you ask them to do. And everybody's very nice in this community. I love it.
When did you move there?
I moved there in 2000. I decided to get out of the city and go to the country. It's got a lot of bugs, but it's all right.
So you were in Clinton?
I was living in Clinton, you know, and then I decided to buy some land and move to the country, and I've been there for 2000, and I won't change it at all because it's very nice and quiet.
So is it farmland?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
You grow things?
No, God, not told you I don't like bugs. Don't like bugs. I cut my grass, and you'd have seen me in that lawnmower trying to kill the bugs. And one day I raked for trying to kill a bug, and I hit another tree. I said, golly, what's anybody looking at me doing this? I'm going to quit.
What was it like going from the city to the countryside? Like, was there anything surprising about it?
No, it's just, I don't know. Living in this city, there was too many people walking back and forward in your yard. And living by yourself, you got to be so careful, you know. And I told my daughter, you know, I'm going to find me some land and buy me a double wide and put it on the land, and now I'm fine, you know. I've been there, I haven't been crazy, you know, like scared. I put me some alarm system to my house. It's fine. It's fine. I love it.
What about your kids? What are they doing?
Oh, my daughter, Su Yang, she works, she lives in Georgia. She is 44 years old. She's a mom, of 21 years old. My granddaughter's going to nursing school. My daughter's getting ready to retire, to graduate from, to be, to work with lawyers. And my daughter lives here, Sally Deaver. She is 42. And she wanted to move to Georgia, but she would not move because she don't want to leave me by myself, so. And that's it.
How has your relationship with your daughters?
Oh, wonderful. They wonderful relationship. We got wonderful. You know, sometimes they get on my nerves because they're at that point that they're 40 and they think they know more than me. And I'm like, you know, really? Do you think I was born walking or something? No, but they're good. They listen to me. Sometimes they have their own opinion and I got to respect that, you know. So,
how do you think your daughter is raising her kids?
Well, my granddaughter, she is kind of she's humble. She's got this character. She is very, not shy, but she's very intelligent. And she got potential. She's hungry for learning. And she wants nice thing out of life, like a Cadillac and a big house. And, you know, and I said, really, you got to go somewhere and get your good job, make money. And then you can put me in the basement, let me live with you. And she said, no, I don't think so, Mama. But they're good girls and they're fine. Everybody got different attitudes, so.
Did you see your grandparents a lot when you were growing up?
My grandmother died when I was born, and she was one of the African that came from Africa to London. She was raised in London. Then she came to the Panama Canal. That's where my great-grandfather used to work. And that's when she had my mom and my aunts and stuff. And that's why my mother speak English. She used to speak English very good, write it very good. Her English was very pretty. And my father was from an island in Panama named Bocas. And he only spoke English. He couldn't speak Spanish. His Spanish was maybe like your Spanish. And my mom did too. She can speak Spanish.
Do you have memories of being around your grandma died when you were born.
Yes.
Do you have memories of your grandfather?
Well, my grandfather died too. He died when they were building the canal. He got tuberculosis and he died.
Mm-hmm. Where did you hear these stories of your grandparents?
My mother and my aunts, they used to sit together. And as a child, I always liked to listen to not older people, but grown people speak, you know, tell about stories. And I used to sit down and listen to them, and that's when I learned a lot, you know, about things that happened in their past.
Do you remember any stories that you heard from them?
About my grandmother and grandfather?
Anything.
Well, my mom, yes, my mother was she went to a school that there was only school for black people. And she learned a lot from the school. All my aunts went to that school and finished school. And that's what I learned, you know, that's what I learned from them, that they didn't go to school and how they used to have to work hard. It was not nothing like here that people used to have to work in a cotton field and stuff like that. My mother and them didn't have to do that, but they used to have to clean people's houses. So, you know, once she met my father, it was all right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think anything about the way that you were brought up affects the way you do your job now?
Well, being humble. My father always said, just being humble and respect people. You know, just don't try to be better than nobody and try not to feel like you about anybody, you know. Even if you have a job, but never feel like you're better than nobody. And always respect people, and that's what I do. I respect, and I'm humble about what I do every day. I don't take nothing for granted.
Do you have any stories about patients that stick out to you?
Yes. Well, most of it was at the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of it was at the emergency room. You see people come through and, you know, most of, like I say, they will come through the emergency room and they will say, try to say in English that they need to see the doctor. And I would say, you need to see the doctor. Why you need to see the doctor? And they would say, you know, and they couldn't say it the right way, so I would say Spanish to them. And I said, well, que lo que le duele? They would say, but why are you speaking to me in English if you speak Spanish? And I would be like, oh, because you started speaking English to me. So, yeah, you did. It's like here, a lot of them would say, oh, I didn't know you speak Spanish, or you American. And I like, no, I'm Latina just like you. I'm from Panama. Oh, I didn't know you could speak Spanish. And I say, yes, speak Spanish. Yeah. But, so they would be amazed about that. Kind of see a black woman with kinky hair that speaks Spanish. So, yeah, but it's okay.
What's your relationship like with healthcare now? Do you like going to the doctor? Do you?
No, I'm a white coat. You imagine, this is crazy. I work here. I go to the doctor, my doctor, and when I go to him, my blood pressure goes sky, what, get real high. And this ain't nothing but the white coat disease, that's all. I go to him, my blood pressure could be just as fine, and as soon as I sit in his office, my blood pressure go up. And I say, I don't know what it is. And it's crazy, because I work here, and I go to him, and my blood pressure will go real. So I told him, he's got something that makes me nervous. So, yeah, but it's okay.
What's the first thing you do when you start, like, you're not feeling well or something?
Oh, well, like I said, when I got burned, my health kind of went down the drain. So, you know, it's not like every day I wake up and I put 100% in it no more. I might just put 80%. But I still get up with a good attitude and come to work, you know. But it's not like it used to be when I was healthy, you know, so.
Do you remember any positive or negative experiences with visiting the doctor?
Oh, positive. It's always good. I don't have nothing negative. You know, it's that I got a good doctor. He's always listening, and like I say, I had known him for 30 years. He used to work at the hospital. So I know him for so long, you know, so it's always been good. You know, I don't have nothing negative to say about him. I don't have nothing negative to say about the doctors in here, because if I feel bad, they'll see me and they all treat me very well. So it's not like I'm going to say this. No, I cannot do that. So,
how was your experience when you were pregnant?
Oh, jeez. Fat. Got fat. Too fat. Yes, too fat.
What were your doctors like?
Well, most of them was military doctors. You know, military doctors is like, isn't it not like civilian doctors? They just go in there and do that. Say, oh, I'm hurt, you know, I'm gaining too much weight or something like that, and they'll cut you short, you know. Next, that's the military doctors, you know, so.
Why is that?
Well, they don't have time to sit down and listen to you. They got so much other patients to see, you know, but it's just the military, that's it, you know.
So did you give birth in the military hospital?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
It was good. It was painful. It was painful. You go there, you have your baby, and you stay for 3 days if you don't have a C-section, and you go home. And, you know, they will tell you to come back in 6 weeks, or back in the days, it was like a month, 2 months, and you will go back, and they look at the baby, and it's not like they give you an appointment, like for vaccination. Back in the days, they didn't used to do stuff like that. You know, most of my, after I had my baby in the military, I would take them to the Panama, you know, the Panamanian clinic. So that's what my children and mostly grew up on, the clinic in town. Yeah.
Is the healthcare system different there?
Yes and no. It's very poorly. Very poorly. It's just not like, you know what I mean? You can. Now it's different, but back in the days when I was home, it's very poorly. It's not like there was a clinic there to see people when they're very sick and things like that. So it's different now. Most of it, now you have to have like insurance card to see the best clinic, go to the best clinic and things like that. So
how do you think the healthcare system here has changed since you remember?
But I think the healthcare system here is good. You know, like I said, I cannot say too much about the system. What I love about this clinic, they see anybody that comes through that door. And no matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, they will see you. And they will give you the best care, you know. And that's one thing about, like I say, about this clinic is very good. Like I said, if you come to the hospital and you don't have no insurance and you don't have what you need to have, they will send a social worker in there. Even if you're dying with your tongue hanging out your throat, she will come in there and ask you about, how can you pay for this bill? Or how can you do this? And I don't think that was right. You know, if you come to the, you go to the emergency room, you get a bill and it will be over $1,000, and I didn't think it was right, you know. So I think that and that's the reason why people come here. They don't go to the hospital no more. They come here because they feel good here. They feel like, you know, the pay is not that big. Whatever they have to get, they get it. And whatever they have to see, and they leave from here with a good attitude, you know. They come and they talk to them about bills. Yeah, they get mad and they leave because, you know, who in the world can pay for that kind of money if you don't have no insurance? And that's the reason why this healthcare system is going down, because they require for you to have insurance, and if you don't have it, you got a bill. And you know, guys, no, people cannot hardly pay anything now. So that's why they come here. And thank God for this clinic, you know, so.
What do you think are some of the challenges in this community that you see?
It's to have more clinics like these, you know, have more let people know that there's a clinic like this here to help them. They don't have to not get sick and not have nobody to see them, you know. At least to go out and let people know this clinic is here to help people. You know, they're not asking for much. They're just asking for some and for you to be taken care of, because I had seen a lot of people being sick and can't go to the hospital because of what they want. And I would have to say, well, this clinic is here, this coming year. And they take good care of you. We had people that come in with diabetes that didn't even know they have diabetes. And here they find out that they have diabetes. You have to take insulin. They got to take pills. They got to take everything. And when they leave from here, they feel good. And if you don't know how to give yourself an insulin shot, they will ask somebody to teach you how to do it. So when they leave from here, they leave from here with a good attitude. So that is a blessing for this clinic, you know. So,
what do you think What do you think are some of the strengths of this community?
I think the strength of this community is just a small community, and everybody get along fine. Sure, you're going to have good and you're going to have bad, but I think that's what it is. It's just a small community, and it's not outrageous, big as the, you know. So that's what I think it is. It's very nice.
I'm going to kind of switch gears and go back to you.
Okay.
I'm curious to hear about, like, your first job or one of your early jobs.
My first job was here in the United States. I worked for Hamilton Beach. That was a factory that made blenders, made irons, made mostly things then for home. And I worked there for 7 years. Got laid off, went back, and that's when I went to school, because I could not see myself taking care of my kids with laying off from working. So that was my first job in the United States, was Hamilton Beach.
Where was it?
Here in Clinton.
Oh, okay.
In Clinton.
How old were you when you moved to the U.S. again?
I was 19, 20, 20.
Okay.
I was 20.
What were your memories of moving here?
Scary. Very scary. When I came here, we came through Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina. The plane stopped, and we got out the plane, and I was like, what is this place? Because I'm accustomed to beaches and palm trees and things like that. And when we came off the plane, I was like, why it smell like this? Why it look like this? And I told my husband, as soon as I got done, I said, I don't like this place.
What did it smell like?
Oh, it was a horrible smell. And I told my husband, I didn't like it. I'm ready to go back home. He said, you didn't give it a chance. And I was
Were you, did you stay in Charlotte at all?
No, we came to North Carolina. Still, his mother and father lived in Clinton. And when we got there, like, really? I didn't like it. And his father and mom didn't like me either. They said I was too picky. But really, you know what I mean? For what they gave me to eat, I was like, you know, in Panama, we don't eat stuff like that. You know, we eat real meat, real chicken. The first thing he gave me to eat was coon. You ever ate coon?
What is that?
Oh, I don't know. So you see those roadkill stuff in the street? I told him I couldn't stay there. It was I lost a lot of weight living with them, too. I told my children, if I want to lose weight, I can go stay with them for 2 months. I need to quit. And I will lose a lot of weight then.
So there were cultural differences?
Yes, a lot. Big difference. There was mostly country people. And I'm not from the country, I'm from the city. You know, so it's big different. They took me out there to work in the field, and I don't know what I would do. His father told us, say, he would take my back home, because I didn't know what I would do. They took me out there to drop tobacco, you know. I've never seen tobacco in my life, you know. I lived in the city. And he said, get on the truck, because I didn't mind learning to do things, but if you're going to teach a person something, you show them first, you know. But his mentality wasn't that. So he said, get on that truck. And I got on the truck, and he gave me a whole big bush of something green, you know. And I was like looking at this stuff, and I started dropping them, you know. And I was dropping them upside down, the leaf in the dirt and the steam. And he got mad at me. I called my husband and I say, I don't think your father and mom like me that good because I'm not country like them, so they never like me.
What kind of culture do you think your kids grew up with?
Panamanian. They love my culture. They like my culture a lot. Yeah, they don't speak Spanish that good, but they love the Latino, you know, environment. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel when you see them connecting to it?
With my children? I love to be around my children. I think that's my joy in life is my children. We sit down and we talk about, reminisce about good days, you know, good days. And, you know, that's what they like. You know, we sit down and we talk and we get along fine. We get along very good.
How do you take care of yourself when you've had a long day of seeing emotional things and helping patients?
I believe in prayer. I believe in going home, take a shower. I don't eat when I go home. I take showers and look for what I have to work, use the next day, and get in bed and look at TV. I'm hooked on TV and pray. I pray a lot. I have to pray a lot. So yeah. And that's my thing, is this praying and, you know, this dealing with life, you know, because it's kind of a crazy now. So, you know, that's this deal.
What is health to you?
Health? Lose some weight and lose weight and get out there and exercise and just do the right thing, because that's, you know, the more weight you lose, the more healthy you get. But it's so hard to lose weight. It's not like I'm a big eater, you know. I suffer with thyroid and sometimes I just can't even stand myself, you know. I said, put on clothes and I tell my children I look like a big old mushroom dressed. But it's the truth. It's just being healthy, you know. You eat healthy, you do the right thing. But it seemed like I just can't lose weight. I said, if I was a millionaire, you know what I would do? Go to Wilmington and get a tummy tuck or something. I think I feel a lot better too.
What would you change about the healthcare system if you could?
What would I change to quit bothering people about more money, take care of everybody, especially the elderly people that I work so hard in the United States. Don't let them take all the money that they make once a month and buy medicine and not have nothing to eat. And don't have to worry about medicine, how they pay the bills, how they have to live for the next day. You know, I think that is a very big thing for me, you know, and mostly elderly people. And I think they need to help them more because they have worked hard for everything that they have all their life. And then once they retire or get sick, they don't treat them the same no more, and I think that's need to be changed.
What do you think has been your proudest moment?
My proudest moment was when I had my children.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because I was proud. It hurts, but I was proud of my children. I'm still am today. And when my granddaughter was born, yeah, when she was born too, she was something to see, you know. It was exciting, so that was it.
You were there when she was born?
Well, I had just left the obese like 2 minutes, and they called me back and said, Anna, come back, she's having a baby. So when I went in the room, I was like, what in the world is this? I got a lot of jokes. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a good moment for me, my granddaughter.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No.
No?
No, it was nice meeting you. You know, I seen you in the hallway, and I was like, who is that lady?
Yeah.
She must be a PA or something.
And we've been here bothering people all week.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
I know they haven't been crazy like me.
No, you've been great.
Thank you.
It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. It's nice meeting you.
Yeah.